The playing time for Rain Hamcast podcast number 71 is 17 minutes, 11 seconds with an ID break at 9 minutes, 3 seconds. Additional timer resets at 2:58, 6:06, 11:41 and 14:41.
This is Rain Hamcast number 71, posted July 9th, 2022. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR.
Is our hobby relevant to most people in their communities?
That's the voice of Alan Thompson, W6WN, Public Information Officer for the El Dorado County Amateur Radio Club in Northern California. According to Alan, his Neighborhood Radio Watch program has about 400 members in El Dorado County, spread across five distinct neighborhoods, each with its own GMRS repeater. Alan reports that his group also helped kickstart two other programs in nearby Amador County. Here's his first excerpt from his talk to the QSO Today Virtual Ham Expo in August 2021. It's called Radio for the Rest of Us.
70% of the population now has a cell phone as their only communications device. It's like we've made this deal with the devil, and now most of us depend on this one single device for all of our communications and even our very lives. The problem is that cell phones depend entirely upon a huge central point of failure system with billions of dollars of electrical, radio, and data communications infrastructure to prop it up. If any part of that infrastructure fails, the phone fails, and often there's no alternatives. This happens all too frequently with fires, hurricanes, earthquakes, tornadoes, floods, and many other natural and man-made disasters. You might be thinking, you know, Alan, I've already got this covered. I'm a ham radio operator. I'm trained in emergency communications. I know how to get by without a cell phone. So why not ham radio for everybody then? It's going to solve all the problems here, these communication problems. Let's look at a couple of issues here with ham radio. Ham radio is great. We all know that. But ask yourself, how many of you have spouses, family members, friends, or neighbors who don't have a ham radio license? In case you haven't figured it out yet, most of these people are never going to trade their cell phones and get ham radio licenses. It's all about relevance. Is our hobby relevant to most people in their communities? Probably not. So let's think about this a little bit further. You know, everybody's favorite radio station is WIIFM. What's in it for me? What does this hold for me? Why should I invest my time, energy, and money into this thing? Related to that, the second most important radio station is WIIFU. What's in it for us? What's in it for my community, for my family? This is going to be something we need to think about in terms of how do we pitch any type of radio solution to non-ham radio users. So let's take a look at a few aspects of ham radio that might be getting in our way. First, let's talk about costs. So at the bottom of the barrel here, you're maybe looking at inexpensive under $100 you can get into this. However, that's the figure that I told my wife that I paid for all my gear. And actually, it's considerably more than that. I hope if I die that she sells it for what it's worth and not what I told her it was worth. But the sky is the limit when it comes to ham radio gear, isn't it? So this is maybe at the lower end of the extreme. You go up a few notches. If you're like George Ulm, W9EVT in Washington Island, Wisconsin, the sky is the limit on cost. George, by the way, owns over 750 radios, and you can actually tour his facility there if you make an appointment. All you have to do is just do a Google search on W9EVT, and you'll find all kinds of information about George. So we've got cost as a factor. Sometimes the entry costs to get a decent ham radio system are just beyond the interests of most people. It's just not relevant to them. You need to make a value proposition in order for them to spend the money on that radio. The other barrier to our hobby is you need to know something about electronics to pass a test to get a license. Most regular people simply aren't going to do that. So these two factors are hurdles that we have to overcome if we want to be relevant. We've got cost and also this technical component that we pride ourselves on, frankly, but not all of the citizenry out there sees it the same way. Now, one thing hams are good at is we can think outside the go box, can't we? And we can adapt to changing situations. So instead of trying to get people interested in the same things that we are, whether it's contesting or rag chewing or DX or moon bounce, whatever, maybe we might try shifting some of our focus more towards something that we all share in common with the general community, namely public safety is a pretty good one. I think we can all agree that that's high on everybody's list. Up until now, we've tried to mainly satisfy our public safety Jones with a focus on served agencies. There's an event. We show up at the Office of Emergency Services with a couple of handy talkies strapped to our belt and say, where do I sit? That's not going to cut it very well these days. Maybe we'd have more success shifting our energy and our attention to towards the people who might benefit the most from our help. That'd be our family, our friends, and our neighbors. And this is where we kick into neighborhood radio watch programs. How do we go about this? One thing that we've done is we've implemented these neighborhood radio watch programs in our communities here. We actually have 6 neighborhood radio watch programs that are running right now in El Dorado County. So what is Neighborhood Radio Watch? A local neighborhood volunteer partnership between hams and non-hams that uses low-cost, two-way radios, ham radios, and scanners as a backup system when all else fails. There's that line. Only now it's being used by a larger group of non-ham citizen responders, if you will. Why should we have all the fun? Let's get the general public in on our well-kept secret that radio works when all else fails. But let's not drag them kicking and screaming all the way into ham radio. I think there's a happy medium, kind of a common ground from where they are now without radios and where we are with radios. I should point out here that neighborhood radio watch programs aren't a substitute for 911 or Code Red or first responders. It's simply intended as a backup system for when all else fails. When your cell phone isn't working and you can't call 911, you can't get Code Red messages, and first responders don't know where to find you. We don't issue evacuation orders. We don't rescue people. We don't administer first aid. We don't fight fires. That's left up to the trained professionals to do. We build our neighborhood radio watch programs around the use of scanners, commercial grade radios, and the General Mobile Radio Service, which is abbreviated as GMRS. GMRS is a channelized service. It shares the same 22 channels used by simple FRS, which is Family Radio Service radios. Those are the little cheap blister pack radios that are made by Midland and Cobra and Uniden and a few others that you can buy at Lowe's, Best Buy, or Radio Shack. That is, if you can find a Radio Shack. Now, that's a sad story right there, but let's move on. So here's how to build a neighborhood radio watch program. At least this is how we did it. The thing about GMRS is it can also use repeaters. It can run up to 50 watts on some channels, and that makes all the difference. The frequency range that it uses is 462 to 467 megahertz, so it's just above our 70 centimeter band, and the characteristics and propagation of GMRS are very similar to what we run into on 70 centimeters. So it's about as close as you can get to ham radio without requiring a test to get a license.
You're listening to Radio for the Rest of Us, a virtual presentation Alan Thompson, W6WN, gave in August 2021 to the QSO Today Virtual Ham Expo. We'll continue our first excerpt from that presentation after this break for station ID. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, and you've tuned to Radio Hamcast Podcast number 71 for July 9th, 2022. We'll be right back.
This is the Rain Hamcast Podcast, available on therainreport.com and on YouTube.
Now, it does require a license. The license is $70. It's good for 10 years, and one license covers your entire family, spouse, children, grandchildren, parents, grandparents, brothers, sisters, aunts, and uncles, whether they're living with you or not. And let's hope that all those people are not living with you, or it's going to be pretty crowded in there. Surprisingly, our ham radio licenses don't cover GMRS. You will need to get a separate GMRS license. And for radios, we get good used commercial Motorola, Vertex, ICOM, and Tate radios that come out of public service. They may be last year's model or a few years back. We recondition the handy talkies with new batteries, program the radios for each area's local GMRS repeater, and then we sell them virtually at cost. You'll notice there's not a lot of buttons on these radios. We like them that way, and the reason why is because we don't want our users to get intimidated or lost using their radios. When we program these radios, we actually lock down most of the buttons on the radio. We're only really interested in on-off, volume, channel up, down, and push to talk. And I know that might sound like heresy for us ham radio operators, but that's how it needs to be done with these folks. We need to keep it very simple. We don't want to intimidate them. We don't want to humiliate them. We want them to feel comfortable with this device in their hands. A good used handy talkie with a new battery, give you some idea of the cost. I mean, these radios new are $500, $700, not cheap radios. They are really well built. They're very durable. If you drop them, they won't break. A good used handy talkie, like a Kenwood TK380 with a new battery, go for as little as $75. That's pretty good bargain for a handy talkie with a 5-watt radio inside of it. Mobile radio with a decent mag mount antenna. Now you're looking at maybe 40-watt radio, $125 to $200. Really cheap. A base station radio, which is really just a mobile radio that you add a 12-volt power supply to and an outdoor antenna, maybe $200 to $300. By the way, do not buy Baofengs or Midlands or other radios that are advertised as GMRS only. They won't support some of the critical functions that we use, and we'll explain those in a bit here. We also help our people get scanners, and these are usually new scanners. The used market, we can't really find anything out there that we like, because there's a special feature we always look for in any scanner before we recommend it, and that is a feature called Fire Tone Out. Fire Tone Out, if you don't know what that is, it allows your scanner to stay quiet until it receives a special tone signature that's sent out by your local fire stations during an event. It may be one fire station. You may have two or three that are in your area. And you can program these scanners for those fire tone out signals so that it will stay quiet on the nightstand, on the dresser, until there is an alert at one of these fire stations. And then it will wake up the scanner and it will wake you up. Then we also help our neighbors install antennas. In some cases, like if they want a base station, then we'll go out to their homes and we'll help them get that radio installed out there. And oftentimes, we'll use just an existing, like a dish network or a DirecTV, HughesNet, or Viasat mount and cable that's already installed in the customer's house. All of us have those leftover mounts that are just sitting there doing nothing. And the 75-ohm coax, not a problem. The mismatch is not significant enough to really make any difference. Much easier just to go ahead and reuse that coax rather than trying to string around some new wire or some expensive cable like an LMR-400. You don't need to do that. Let's talk about how we build a community radio program, kind of a building block, a diagram, if you like. At the most basic level, you probably have neighbors who don't even own radios. That's most of the neighbors out there, and a lot of them never will get radios. And maybe their next door neighbors will. Maybe their next door neighbors have a few just simple FRS radios around, family radio service radios, those blister pack radios. Those are compatible with GMRS, and they can be used in a neighborhood radio watch program. They just can't transmit to the repeater, but they can listen to the repeater output if they're in range. Okay, so this is the most basic building block of a neighborhood radio watch program. Now, next you add to that some folks that have GMRS radios, and they can talk simplex with their FRS neighbors. Again, they share the same 22 channels, but they can also talk to the repeaters. And so because we're in the Sierra foothills, some of these GMRS neighbors are also located on ridges and hilltops. This gives them an advantage in being able to spot and pinpoint fires quickly. We call them our Falcons. Many of our Falcons also become net controls. Yes, we do have net controls in our neighborhood radio watch program, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Their location, those higher locations, also give them a better spot to hit the repeaters from. And that's one of the reasons why we like them for net controls, because they get a good strong signal. Now you add a repeater into the mix. So a 1 to 5 mile simplex radio range now becomes 20 miles or more. And sometimes we don't even need that to cover an area. So we will sometimes adjust the power levels and adjust the antennas just to cover the geography that we need to cover. Again, this is equipment that's come out of public service, relatively inexpensive. We can put together a pretty darn decent repeater, about $400, $500, something like that. And we do situate these repeaters at known sites that have protection. They've got generator backup power there. They've got fire suppression. Usually we will locate these in vaults that we already have our equipment in for our 2 meter and 70 centimeter repeaters. Established relationships really help here.
And that concludes our first excerpt from Radio for the Rest of Us, a talk given by Alan Thompson, W6WN, Public Information Officer for the El Dorado County Amateur Radio Club in Northern California. We'll bring you our second excerpt from his presentation given to the QSO Today Virtual Ham Expo in August 2021 next time. Rain Hamcast Podcast number 72 will post July 23rd, 2022. Rain founder Hap Holly, KC9RP, edits and produces this bi-weekly ham radio hamcast without monetization. Your support via PayPal and feedback on the rainreport.com are appreciated. Copyright 1985-2022, RAIN, the Radio Amateur Information Network. All rights reserved. RAIN programming is made available under a Creative Commons license. You are encouraged to download, share, post, and transmit the RAIN Hamcast in its entirety via amateur radio. Thanks to Tom Shimizu, N9JDI, for posting a not-for-broadcast version of these podcasts via the Rain Report channel on YouTube. Now for Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73. Keep on hamming!